Cornerstone family, let's pray together. Lord God, as you spoke long ago through the prophets, through the voices of your prophets, speak to us here, speak to us now, by your holy word, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and the promise of your Son, Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Please, open your Bibles and listen, for these are the very words of God, coming from the book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 23 through 31. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our David, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentile rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had destined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Cornerstone, these are the very words of God. Thanks be to God. With all that we have gone through over the last several weeks, we now know that we are recipients of the gospel and are meant to respond personally by worship, praise, thanksgiving, and surrender. Now, let's turn to another facet of our response to the gospel, which is that we are called to be an agent of sharing the gospel. This is the Great Commission given at the end of Matthew's gospel. "All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Matthew 28, 19 and 20. With this, Jesus has bestowed a great honor upon all of us, not just his first disciples and apostles, but all of us. You, individually, and us collectively, have been chosen to be heralds of the gospel. Family of God, God did not become a man, lay down his life, bind the strong man, and crush the powers of sin, death, Satan, and hell, so that only a handful of people would know about it. God wants everyone to know about his rescue because he desires that many would be saved, as we have discussed before. But how can others believe in and surrender to God if they don't hear about him? How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Romans 10, 14 and 15. The lost and others who don't know about God will only hear if heralds are sent forth. God is sending us, you and me, into a world that's panicked, fearful, in chaos, filled with sin, and anxious because it does not know the graces of God. The world doesn't even know that there is a God, much less that he's a good father who's done something about our absolute mess. It's the herald's job, you and me, to let people know that there are reasons to have unshakable confidence in Jesus. Over the last several weeks, we as a church have not only gone through the gospel so that you know it, but also that it would help you to proclaim it to others. Do you remember the simple way to share the gospel? It consists of four simple words: created, captured, rescued, and response. Heralds, those who proclaim the gospel with their words, which are meant to be you and me and every single Christian, take these four words and use them to tell God's story in a way that is unique to them in their life circumstances, while keeping these four essential components in mind. As heralds, we share the news of the initial passionate proclamation of the gospel that leads others to surrender to Jesus. And as we do this, as it happens so often when we share the gospel, it moves someone to tears and provokes a response. That's not the God I knew growing up. Please tell me more. As we do that, we're being faithful to the mission portion of our response that God has called every single Christian, you and me, to do. You and I are called to be active agents in the liberation, the rescue mission that Jesus already carried out for us. In other words, Jesus' resurrection and his outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon us not only began our process of transformation in our own lives, but it is also how the process of transformation can continue in the lives of others in our community, bringing salvation, hope, and inspiration to all who believe. One way to think of this is to recall that trafficker that we talked about when we examined what it meant to be captured and rescued. Imagine again that you are the victim who has just been rescued. If you were the only person there, the only prisoner, you would walk away with your Savior, grateful for your freedom, not looking back. But what if many other men, women, and children were also captured. You would want to go and rescue them too, wouldn't you? Your first response, thanking and praising and worshiping your rescuer for what he has done for you, would then give way to the next step, the mission, which is how to rescue those other men, women, and children who surround you. What can you do, along with the one who has saved you, to get as many as possible out of captivity? Brothers and sisters, you have been rescued. And in our society, there are many men, women, and children who are still captured. They are, in many ways, in the clutches of the hell and Satan, and are going to hell. And it is your and my responsibility, since we are already saved, to be a help in rescuing and capturing the lost and captured, those who need salvation. Another helpful way to understand our call to mission is through a passage in the first chapter of the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 1, there is a scene of Holy Scripture that I actually find rather comical. As the apostles and disciples watch Jesus ascend to heaven, two men, who are actually angels, appear by their sides. In Acts chapter 1, verse 11, the angels say, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven?" I imagine those angels looking at the apostles and disciples who are gawking at the heavens, even after Jesus has disappeared from their sight, shaking their heads, dumbfounded at how inactive the apostles and disciples are, and tapping the apostles on the shoulders. "Hey guys," I imagine the angel saying, "why are you wasting time staring at the sky? Come on, you got things to do. Get out there and get the work. Go find and save the lost. You're doing no good standing here and looking for Jesus." As the biblical scholar N.T. Wright correctly reminds Christians, the message of Easter is not simply that Jesus has risen, and therefore we will too, one day. That is not the Easter proclamation of the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John continued in Acts. It is so much more. The Easter proclamation is, Jesus has risen. Therefore, there is work for you and me to do to help build God's church, establish His kingdom, and save the lost. How should we understand that faithful statement? The most significant point is that Easter is the beginning of the resurrection of all things. Of course, this will only fully happen when Jesus has finally come back in glory, as He says in the book of Revelation, "Behold, I make all things new." Revelation 21:5. That making of all things new is what Jesus began on Easter Sunday. And He will do it entirely one day when the rightful King returns the earth. But even now, you and I are called to work and build the kingdom in every sphere of our lives, in every area of our lives. Morally, marriages, families, friendships, neighbors, our time, effort, finances, everything that we own, our education systems, the judicial systems, healthcare, libraries, and other institutions. Every structure that we touch or are part of, all of it, absolutely all of it, is meant to be taken over and given over to God for the glory of God. That might seem like a pipe dream, beyond what we could reasonably expect any individual or even the church to be able to do. But it's not a mere dream. For as we heard from our scripture today, God does not leave his church alone. He empowers his people by his Holy Spirit. He is the one who gives them works to do. He is the one that leads them. It's amazing to me that often we come together as a church and we pray and we seek God, but then we don't go. We keep missing that step. I hear over and over again from people, doesn't matter what age you are, I don't feel prepared enough. I don't feel like I know enough. I don't feel like God has come upon me enough. And then we don't step out. We don't take that step of faith. We don't proclaim. We don't preach. We don't teach. We don't do the things that God has asked us to do for his glory and for the benefit of everybody else. It's amazing to me that in our scripture today, there was something that they asked for. Not once, but twice. They prayed for boldness. Boldness to do the things that God was calling them to do. Boldness to say the things that God has called us to say. To go out, even not knowing exactly where God wants to lead us. The Lord God says, as an image, that he is a lamp unto our feet. But even a lamp, at least the types of lamps that is referred to in Holy Scripture, don't go very far. The light doesn't travel very far. And often we don't know exactly where God wants us to go. We don't see everything around us, but we still need to take that step of faith in boldness. But how do we do this? Especially when we have these feelings of not being enough. How do we do it? Just take one thing. One thing that God has placed on your heart. One action that you know that God calls us to. Friends, the thing is that often we don't always feel called to do everything that God has told us to do, but we know what is right. We know it's good to give to the poor. Often we just need to take the step and do it whether we feel like it or not. We take whatever God has told us to do and we just do it. Give to the poor. Take care of the widow. But what about proclaiming? We have been learning about the gospel, again, not only so that you would know it, but so that you would be able to proclaim it. I had an experience of being able to proclaim the gospel on an airplane once. I was heading from Denver to Chicago. And during that time, there was a girl who was taking a flight, who was sitting next to me, a teenager who was escaping her parents. I got to sit and talk to her and hear her life story. And we think that people, at least generally, know the scriptures. More and more people just do not know the scriptures. And so as I was hearing this woman out, I asked her, "Do you know the story of the prodigal son?" And she said, "No, I don't know it." And so I said to her, Oh, you, my friend, have something glorious to know about God and how God reaches you even in the situation that you're going through. How he's waiting for you to come back. How he's looking out for you. You just take the story that you know, you relate it, my friends, to the situation that they are going through, and you proclaim the gospel to them. Bring them to Jesus. That is our mission. That is the mission that God has sent us on. Bring them to the one who saves. The one who washes clean. The one who feeds. The one who glorifies. Just bring them to Jesus. And do it boldly. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen and amen. At this time, I'd ask that the elders would please come forward. And as they come forward, let's pray together. Lord God, we ask, O Lord, that above all today, that you would give your church boldness to proclaim the greatest message that anyone could ever hear. We ask, O Lord, that message that you have called us to proclaim would touch the lives of others. We ask, O Lord, that would bring them, O Lord, to a point of salvation. Lord, we ask that you would bless them, that you would keep them, that you would lift them up. But Lord, for each and every person here, I ask that your Holy Spirit would fall and that you would give them your boldness to proclaim who you are, what you desire, your will, your ways, and your word, so that, Lord, this world and its people would come closer to you. So give us your boldness, we pray. And all God's people said, amen.